Sefer Tehillim, this is shir number 68. We are using the commentary by Ma'am Loez. May the learning of Torah be a merit for myself, yourself, for listening to this tape or CD, or for listening to any of our over 500 Torah lectures online at EnglishTorahTapes.com. May the learning of Torah also be a merit for the memory of Aaron Fuchs and Shimon and Hinda Manila of blessed memory. We're holding chapter 119, Pasuk 156. Rachamecho Rabim Hashem K'mishpatecho Chayeni. Your mercies, O Hashem, are abundant. Give me life in accordance with your judgments. It is your way to be merciful, so I plead. Your mercies, O Hashem, are abundant. Give me life in accordance with your judgments. Give me life as is your way. Many are my enemies, but so are your mercies, abundant. Therefore, give me life in accordance with your judgments. David pleads for the opportunity to merit salvation. Similarly, we find that Hashem sent angels to Sodom, whom Lot would welcome as his guest and defend with his very life, and so merit to be saved. David says here likewise, your mercies, O Hashem, are abundant. So give me life in accordance with your judgments. As a sign of your benevolence, grant me the merit to earn life in accordance with your judgments. I should then live because I justly deserve to live. Some say that David speaks in the name of the future exiles, who declare and entreat, even today, your mercies, O Hashem, are abundant. We survive as a result of great miracles, but it would be preferable for us to earn your beneficence through our own labor by performing the sacred service in the house of Hashem. Then you would give us life in accordance with your judgments as a naturally deserved recompense. Pasuk 157. Rabim Yirotfei V'tzoroi Me'edvosecha Lo Netisi. Many of my pursuers and my adversaries, yet have I not turned aside from your testimonies. Notwithstanding that many of my pursuers and my adversaries, yet have I not turned aside from your testimonies. What is more, I fulfilled your commandments. You shall not avenge nor bear any grudge. A pasuk that is found in the Chumash Vayikra. Although my pursuers and my adversaries are great and important people like Doeg and Achitophel, yet have I not inclined to complain that the wicked are high and I am so low, for I have not turned aside from your testimonies. Pasuk 158. Ra'isi bogdim veskotata ashe imrascha lo shomaru. I saw traitors and I quarreled with them because they did not keep your word. I saw traitors who wronged me, but I quarreled with them more because they did not keep your word than because they wronged me. Some explain, when I saw traitors, those unfaithful to you prosper, I quarreled, v'eskotetam. I found life despicable. Similarly, it says, my soul is weary of my life. Nakta nafshi, a pasuk that's found in Iyov. The wicked are called here traitors because they do not fulfill the mission for which they were sent from on high. Pasuk 159. Re'ei ki pukudecha ohavti Hashem kechastecha yeni. See how I love your commands, O Hashem. Give me life according to your loving kindness. Since I quarreled with those who are traitors to your Torah, see how I love your commands. So give me life according to your loving kindness. David says in effect, see how I love your commands, for it was not for my sake, but for this reason that I saw traitors and I quarreled with them. So give me life according to your loving kindness. Do not let me fall into their hands. At the outset, David asked Hashem to give him life, both out of compassion and out of justice. Thus he mentions to his credit that I saw traitors and I quarreled with them. But here he says that this is not enough to make him deserving of life. So give me life according to your loving kindness. David explains why he would quarrel with the traitors any time he saw them. Because he loved Hashem's commands, he could not restrain himself for his heart flamed within him. But since they were his adversaries, he was afraid, and so asked for Hashem's mercy to sustain his life. Thus he says, I saw traitors and I quarreled with them, because they did not keep your word. See how I love your commands. O Hashem, give me life according to your loving kindness. Pasuk 160. Rosh Devarach Emes Ul'olam Kol Mishpat Tzedkecha. The beginning of your word is truth, and your every righteous ordinance, judgment, is forever. Concerning the first foundation of our faith, the singer says, the beginning of your word, that which you have written in the Torah about the creation of the world, is truth. 2. Your every righteous ordinance is forever. Unlike the Moors of the other nations who enact statutes and then change them, your every righteous ordinance is forever and ever. The obligation to keep them is not restricted to a specified time, but lasts forever. The beginning of your word is truth, emes. The end letters of Bereishis Bara Elokim, in the beginning Hashem created, spells also the word emes, truth. When a person speaks, we should hear him out to the end, for at times he may begin with praise and conclude with blame. Thus we find that the spies began by extolling the virtues of the land of Israel, but then said the wrong things. God's attribute is different. The beginning of your word is true at once. As soon as he begins to speak, we know that everything he says is true. Why? For your every righteousness ordinance is forever. The words of Hashem are forever true. A subtle interpretation says, if the beginning of your word is truth, the foundation of what you say is truth, devoid of ulterior motive, then your every righteous sentence, mishpat, is forever. It will be established in the end. Compare it to an edifice where everything depends on the foundation. Others say, the beginning of your word is truth at the outset. Your word appears with the severity of halacha, but in the end, your every judgment is righteousness. It is a known to the wise that every word of speech is registered in the air and is sustained by subtle invisible forces that spread out in the air. A subtle interpretation says, if the foundation or head of the person is true and without ulterior motive, then everything he does has integrity. Thus the singer says, the beginning, the head of your word, is truth, and your every judgment is forever. This will be true of everything you do. Pasuk 161. Sorim Redavuni Chinam Mitvorcho Prochad Libi. Princesses have pursued me without cause, and my heart feared your word. I know that I have done them no wrong, yet they pursued me without cause. So my heart feared your word. I feared that your word to me was thus coming true when you said in Shmuel Beis, behold, I will raise up evil against you out of your house. My heart feared your word. I feared that perhaps you had commanded them to persecute me, for the evildoer is Hashem's sword, as it says, rescue my soul from the wicked, you, your sword. Plus, I think that's found in Sefer Tehillim. A different interpretation says they plot to draw me away from your Torah, as it says, that they have driven me out of this day from being journeyed to the inheritance of Hashem, saying, go serve other gods. A pasuk that's found in Shmuel Aleph. But the truth about me is that, on the contrary, at all times my heart feared your word. I was afraid of transgressing the commandments of your holy Torah. Some say that David refers to his son Absalom. He was afraid of falling into Absalom's hands in fulfillment of the prophet's words to him, behold, I will raise up evil against you out of your own house, as found in Shmuel Beis. Here he adds, even though they had already pursued me, I was not afraid of them as much as that my heart feared you word, though yours was only speech. Others say that David speaks in the name of the congregation of Israel regarding the destruction when even the archangels Michael and Gabriel betrayed her. Thus it says in Eicha, all her friends have dealt treacherously with her, which alludes to the Yehoel and Gavriel. This happened without cause, that is due to baseless hatred of one Jew for another, as the sages have expounded upon the pasuk, they haunted me avidly, like a bird, those whose hate me without cause. Princesses have pursued me without cause. This may also be understood in accordance with, for behold, they lie in wait for my soul. The impudent gathered themselves together against us. That is to say, I did not fear any of my persecutors as much as I feared transgressing even a single word of yours. As the poet said, my willful heart did to my soul what all my enemies cannot do to me. Because my heart feared your word, what have I to fear from people? Thus the Chovas HaLevavos says, a certain man of piety spent the night in the wilderness, asked if he had been afraid of wild animals. He replied, I am so greatly fear Shem, there's no reason for any other fear. Pasuk 162 says, Sus Anochi al Imrosecha Kemose Shalol Rav. I rejoice in your word as one who finds abundant spoils. Whenever I merit to understand something in your Torah, I rejoice at your word like a man who finds abundant spoils and is happy about it. The reason my heart feels your word so greatly is not for fear of punishment, but because I rejoice at your word as one who finds abundant spoils. Out of great love, I am fearful of possibly transgressing any one of the mitzvahs. A man finds a vast treasure, and he takes much of it, but because he lacks sufficient containers to hold more, he is forced to leave behind abundant spoils. That is how I feel when studying Torah. Everything that I have already learned is like a drop of water from the sea compared to what there is. The present pasuk may be understood further by means of a parable. A poor man dreamt that in the capital city, underneath a certain bridge, lies a great treasure. The man ignored the dream. When the dream appeared to him a number of times, he decided that possibly there was something to this and went to search out under the bridge. He was noticed by the watchman on the bridge, who asked him what he was doing. When the pauper repeated the dream to him, the guard laughed. Is there actuality, some reality to these matters? Behold, I saw in a dream that in a certain city, on a particular street, a vast treasure is buried in the ground, and I did not go there to look for it. The pauper was astonished at the other's words, for that house belonged to him. He hurried back to the other to his home, dug into the ground, and found the treasure. This teaches us that everything attained through study and application is not the result of human power alone, but involves factors that transcend reason. Things come to the person as a gift. Thus our sages teach, if you have sought and then found, believe it. Believe it only then, for a fine word, for a find is not revealed except that after weary toil. What one acquires is then in the nature of a find. That is what David says here. I rejoice at your word as one who finds abundant spoils. I acknowledge that my acquisitions came to me purely as a find. Others explain, one who finds something also feels the pain of the one who lost it. It is different when one finds something that bandits acquired by force and then misplaced. The person finding it feels unmerited joy. Thus the singer says here similarly, I rejoice at your word as one who finds abundant spoils that the spoilers had acquired through violence. A person rejoices over every item he finds. David says similarly, that every word of the Torah is precious in itself. Thus I rejoice in your word as one who finds abundant spoils of silver and gold. silver and gold are in themselves abundant, for each bar is equal to values to many utensils. What is more, if the silver and gold are combined into a single prized ornament, its monetary value is vastly, is many times greater than the value of the gold and silver it contains. Pasuk 163. Sheker shenasi v'so aivo toroscho ahavti. I hate and abhor falsehood, but your Torah I love. Here David speaks out against harmful false doctrines. I hate and abhor falsehoods, but your Torah I love, because it is the Torah of truth. Hence I rejoice at your word, as one who finds abundant spoils. Money is a delusion. It does not stay by the person for all time, but the wealth of one's Torah learning endures forever. In the beginning I hated and abhorred falsehood, and removed myself from anything evil. Subsequently I loved your Torah. This accords with the following teaching of our sages: one whose fear of Hashem is prior to his wisdom endures. In the same manner that a Jew hates falsehood, he is close to the Torah. I hate and abhor falsehood, but your Torah I love. Similarly, it says in Chumash Devarim, but you will not bring an abomination into your home. Then will love of the Torah come into your home and soul. Pasuk 164. Sheva Vayom Hilalticho Al Mishpatei Tzidkecho. 7 times a day do I praise you because of your righteousness, ordinances, and judgments. Having spoken of his love for the Torah, David now speaks of his love of prayer. 7 times means many times. Similarly, it says, for a righteous person falls 7 times, and yet rises up again. A pasuk that's found in Mishlei. Thus David says, many, many times when I offer praise of you each and every day, because of your righteous ordinances that you have given us. Another interpretation says, each and every day I would be afflicted with suffering at every step and turn, yet would I praise you because of your righteous judgments of me. Our sages teach, beloved are the people of Israel, since Hashem has surrounded them with mitzvahs. He has placed tefillin upon their heads and upon their arms, sisters upon their garments, mezuzahs upon their homes, the doors. Accordingly, David says about Israel, 7 times a day we have praised you because of your righteous ordinances. You will see. In the Talmud Yishami, the Chachamim, the sages, have related the present verse to the 7 benedictions recited before and after the Shema. In the morning, 2 before and 1 after. In the evening, 2 before and 2 after. Hence it says here, 7 times a day do I praise you. Rav Nachman said in the name of Rav Abin, when one fulfills 7 times a day do I praise you, it is as if he has fulfilled you, will meditate therein day and night, a pasuk that is found in Sefer Yeshua. Rav Hanan said in the name of Nehemiah, a man keeps 7 mitzvahs every day. Twice he recites the Shema, 3 times he prays the Shema Nesri, and 2 times he eats and recites the grace. The sages have also taught that 7 times a day do I praise you alludes to the 7 benedictions of the Shabbat Shmoneh Esrei. A different interpretation is that 7 times a day do I praise you refers to the war against the evil inclination. Each day the battle is renewed and it appears in 7 totally different guises. Nevertheless, David would always emerge victorious and every time offer thanks to Hashem. Pasuk 165. Shalom Rav Le'ovei Sarisecha Ve'ein Lamo Michshol. Abundant peace have those who love your Torah, and there is no stumbling for them. There is abundant peace for those who are occupied with the Torah. Their souls are serene, free of the worries associated with the accumulation of much money. Straight is their path in life, devoid of obstructions and with no stumbling. Though students of Torah contend vehemently with one another as if they were enemies, in the end, abundant peace have those who love your Torah. Provided they acknowledge the truth, there's no stumbling for them. Those who love the Torah will not stumble, and they know abundant peace, for they are content with little and do not worry about every eventuality. A subtle interpretation says, when one finds abundant spoils, a single blessing is recited. Blessed be he who is good and does good. But the seven times a day do I praise you for having given us your righteous ordinances. Accordingly, David says, I hated and abhorred the falsehood and futility of money, but your Torah I love, and so abundant peace have those who love your Torah, and there is no stumbling for them. It is otherwise regarding the accumulation of spoils. The king may hear about this and can confiscate everything, or else one may lose all that wealth through some mishap. The pasuk alludes here to the dictum of the sages that when righteous men gather, that is good for them and good for the world. For many then come to venerate the Holy One of Israel, as it says, O declare the greatness of Hashem with me, and let us exalt him together. That is what the singer says here. Abundant peace have those who love your Torah, and there's no stumbling for them. It is otherwise when the wicked come together, which is a source of stumbling for themselves and others. Pasuk 166. Sibarti l'shu'oscha Hashem u'mitzvasecha sisi. I have hoped for your deliverance, O Hashem, and I have performed your commandments. I have hoped for your deliverance of my soul after death, because I have performed your commandments. Although the deliverance is delayed, I have hoped for your deliverance, O Hashem, and I have performed your commandments. I did not, on that account, abandon your mitzvahs, unlike those who despair of the redemption. For I love your testimonies, my soul has observed your testimonies, and I have been exceedingly. Some say that David depicts here the way of the pious man. At times he has the opportunity to perform a mitzvah, but hesitates because he feels inadequate to the task. Nevertheless, he places his trust in Hashem, and so begins to perform it. Thus David says, I have hoped for you deliverance, O Hashem, and I perform your commandments. Pasuk 167. Shomra nafshi edosecho va'ave me'od. You, my soul, has observed your testimonies, and I love them exceedingly. My soul has looked into the words of your Torah, and as a result, loved them exceedingly. Although I have always observed the commandments, they have not become odious to me in the course of time. On the contrary, I love them exceedingly. Although I have already performed them once, yet will I perform them many times, for I love them exceedingly. My soul has observed your testimonies. Even when I did not have the opportunity to perform a mitzvah, I would wait in anticipation for such an opportunity to come into my hand. For all my ways are before you. You know that I keep what I can, and look forward to keep all the affirmative commitments. You too, goodness, will thus credit me as if I had in fact kept all the mitzvahs. Pasuk 168. Shamarti pikudecho edosech ki chol doroch negdeich. I have observed your commands and your testimonies, for all my ways are before you. I have been found worthy to keep your commands and your testimonies, for I have so conducted myself that all my ways are before you. In all my days have I known you. Similarly, it says, in all your ways know him, a pasuk that is found in Mishle. A subtle interpretation says, David was harsh by nature, a redhead. The prophet Shmuel considered him to be as bloodthirsty as Esav. Whereupon Hashem said to him, why has he fine eyes? And Shmuel Aleph says, he only kills in accordance with the ruling of the Sanhedrin. These judges of the Sanhedrin are designated as the eyes of the nation. Thus he says here, I have observed your commands and your testimonies, even though all my ways are against you, Nektecho, By nature, all my deeds were against you, but I overpowered myself. My soul has observed your testimonies. I sit and wait for the opportunity to observe the commandments, for I love them exceedingly. In effect, therefore, I have observed your commands and your testimonies, for all my ways are before you. Pasuk 169. Tekra v'nasi lefanecha Hashem kidvorcha havineni. Let my song of prayer come near before you, O Hashem. Give me understanding according to your word. David pleads before Hashem. Let my song of prayer come near before you, O Hashem. Let my prayer, which I utter with joy and song, come near before you. What is my prayer? Give me understanding according to your word. Grant me the understanding, the intelligence, to act in accordance with your word. David would entreat Hashem for his prayer to be accepted ahead of all the prayers chanted by the myriads of heavenly angels, even as the Holy One attends first to the prayers offered by the people of Israel as a whole. At the conclusion of this psalm, David offers a plea that everything he asked for in the psalm be fulfilled. Thus he begins here with an expression of song, Rinasi, followed by an expression of supplication, Tchi Nasi. He says, give me understanding according to your word. For a song of prayer depends for its efficiency on the attentiveness to what one is saying. This is followed by, like the next pasuk says, pasuk 170, let my supplication come before you. That is to say, let no obstruction delay my prayer. But even if some objection arise against its acceptance, save me according to your word. Accept my prayer according to your word. For you promise to hear the prayer of those who turn to you wholeheartedly. Come near, due to the great distance between heaven and earth, as it were, come near to heed my prayer. What is the substance of my prayer? Give me understanding according to your word. Pasuk 170. Tavot chinasi lefenecho kimrascha hatzileni. Let my supplication come before you. Save me according to your word. David pleads for the salvation of his soul. Let my supplication come before you. Save me according to your word. Thus the Torah says, and Hashem your God will circumcise your heart. The pasuk is found in Chumash Devarim. He will remove the obstructions. Some explain, man retains freedom of choice, but if he is upright, then Hashem helps him towards the good way. As it says, for Hashem has come to test you, and that his fear may be before your faces, that you do not sin. Pasuk is found in Chumash Shemos. This does not refer to saving the body, but to saving the soul from the stumbling block of iniquity. Pasuk 171. Tabanus fosai tehilok islamdeni chukecho. Let my lips utter praise, because you teach me your statutes. After you teach me your statutes, my lips will utter praise like a welling spring. David HaMelech was in the habit of chanting songs and praises about his mighty victories over his enemies and at the downfall of those who hated him. Yet he longed more to dwell in tranquility, studying Torah and serving Hashem, to utter praise and thanksgiving for his victories in battles of Torah. Thus he says here, let my lips utter praise because you teach me your statutes. Pasuk 172. Ta'an l'shoni imrosecha kichom isvosecha tzedek. Let my tongue proclaim your word, for all your commandments are righteous. When I proclaim and acclaim your word, I say that all your commandments are righteous. When I speak of your commandments, I talk in a loud voice. That is the way of those who say what is righteous and upright. In contrast, those who speak deceitfully talk in a whisper. Thus the singer says, let my tongue proclaim your word in a loud voice, for all your commandments are righteousness. Pasuk 173. Let your hand be ready to help me, for I have chosen your commands. Because they hate me for keeping your commands, let your hand be ready to help me. Now that I have done what is mine to do and chosen the way of truth, help me. Enable me to perfect myself at walking in the way of truth. For it is a man's duty to choose the good, and one who comes to be purified is helped. Pasuk 174. Ta'afni shu ascha Hashem miserv ascha sha'ashu'oi. I lust for your deliverance, O Hashem, and your Torah is my delight. David Melch expresses his yearning for the deliverance of the soul. I lust for your deliverance, O Hashem, my aim is to possess your Torah, rather than to enjoy the pleasures of this world, for the Torah is my delight. There's a hint here to what the Rambam writes at the end of Laws of Malachim of Kings. The prophets and sages longed the Messianic days not in order to enjoy themselves, but to have time for Torah study and serving Hashem. Thus David says, I lust for your deliverance, O Hashem, not for my sake, but in order that your Torah be my delight. Pasuk 175. Let my soul live, and it will praise you, and let your ordinances help me. They seem to ask for life. Let my soul live so that I may praise you, and let your ordinances help me. Similarly, it says, you will therefore keep my statutes and my ordinances, which if a man do, he will live by them. It's a pasuk that's found in the Chumash Vayikra. What is more, David asked to be granted knowledge of godliness, such knowledge as praise. Thus he says, let my soul live and it will praise you. How will he attain this? Let your ordinances help me through the Torah. Speaking for the congregation of Israel, the singer says, I have lusted for your deliverance, O Hashem, not for my sake, but that my heart be free to study your Torah. For your Torah is my delight. Then will my soul live. My soul is dead now because it lacks completeness, but then I will be able to acclaim you with a full mouth. Then again, David asked Hashem to grant him vitality in his Torah study prayer. As he said, all my bones will say, Lord, who is like you? Thus he says here, let my soul live and it will praise you. Similarly, King Chizkiyahu said in Yishayahu, Sefer Yishayahu, the living, he will praise you, as I do this day. Your ordinances will help me fill my heart with life. Pasuk 176. Ta'isi kaseh oived ba'keish avdecho giv mitzvasech lishchotin. I've gone astray like a lost sheep. Seek out your servant, for I have not forgotten your commandments. David describes his isolation, comparing himself to a lost sheep. I've gone astray like a lost sheep. I'm like a sheep that has been separated from its flock, and the shepherd continues looking for it until he brings it back. Turning to Hashem, he says, seek out your servant, for I have not forgotten your commandments. Seek me out and return me to my place in my land. I deserve that you should do this for me. For even when I'm lost and wandering, I do not forget your commandments. Like a lost sheep also describes his lack of knowledge. David entreats the faithful shepherd to seek out the lost sheep, to find it and thus bring it back his soul to its source. When a stray sheep returns to its flock, the shepherd does not vengefully punish it, since it lacks intelligence, and so is man, for his material substance predisposes him to sin. Therefore seek out your servant, for I have not forgotten your commandments. I did not transgress willfully, but was like a lost sheep. Just as I have not forgotten your commandments, act similarly towards me. Measure for measure, do not forget me. Seek out your servant. The Midrash says, said Rabbi Yeshua ben Levi in the name of Rabbi Shimon. Why does David declare at the conclusion of the psalm, I've gone astray like a lost sheep, seek out your servant? It is the way of the world that when a sheep strays from its flock, or an ox wanders away from its pasture, who searches for whom? Does the sheep seek the shepherd, or the shepherd the sheep? Say the shepherd seek the sheep. Similarly, David says before Hashem, Master of the world, seek me out like the shepherd seeking out that sheep. As you said at the hand of the prophet Shmuel, Hashem has sought him a man after his own heart. You have probed me and tested me by what I have done. I have gone astray like a lost sheep. Seek out your servant. See that I'm as innocent as a sheep. I've gone astray like a lost sheep. Seek out your servant. David prays, the moment I stray from the good way, let God seek me out, so that I would not become rooted in sin. For I have not forgotten your commandments. I have not forgotten the sound of Torah study and the performance of the mitzvahs. I still recognize the sound of the call. You, O Hashem, are as the shepherd. You say, return, O faithless children, a pasuk that's found in Yirmiyahu. So include me in your call, for I have not forgotten your commandments. I am not of those who are excluded from return, O faithless children. Now we come to chapter 120. The following 15 psalms from 120 to 134 are each called Song of Ascents. They were intended by David for chanting in the Beis HaMikdash, and their number corresponds to the 15 steps between the man's gallery and the woman's gallery in the Beis HaMikdash. The Chachamim explain that these psalms were recited when the abyss rose during excavations for the foundations of the Beis HaMikdash. The abyss threatened to destroy the whole world. The sages said as follows, our rabbis have taught that the Levim would stand on the 15 steps coming down from the man's gallery to the woman's gallery, corresponding to these 15 songs of accents in Sefer Tehillim. They stood there with their lyres, the harps, and innumerable array of other musical instruments. And one of the sages in Yeshiva once expounded on the Agadim, Rav Chisda said to him, have you heard what parallel the 15 songs of accents composed by David? The other replied, thus said Rav Yochanan, when David dug foundation pits, the abyss overflowed and threatened to submerge the world. David called out, is there anyone here who knows if it is permissible to write the holy name upon a shard and then by casting it down halt the abyss? When no one answered, David said, the one who knows and does not speak, may he be choked by hanging from the neck. This said Achitophel to reason as follows. To make peace between a man and his wife, the Torah has said that the name which was written holiness should be erased in water. As surely then it is permitted to erase a name in water in order to make peace between the entire world and our Father in heaven. He told David that it is permitted. David wrote the name on his shard, cast it down, and the abyss fell 16,000 cubits. Seeing that it descended too far, David understood that as a result the earth would suffer a severe shortage of moisture. So he recited 15 psalms, songs of ascents, and brought up the abyss 15,000 cubits, causing it to halt at a depth of 1,000 cubits. Abayu said, thus the thickness of the top layer of the earth is 1,000 cubits. But we do not see that we reach water only after a little digging. But Meshayo said, that is due to the ladder of Euphrates River. The upheaval of the abyss occurred because Hashem did not want David to be the one to build the Beis HaMikdash, as he subsequently informed him through the prophet Nassim. An ancient book says that when the abyss descended, all the springs in the world dried up. Rav Sadia Gaon explained, these psalms are each called Song of Ascents because they were recited in a loud voice. Every successive psalm was recited more loudly than the preceding one. Some explain that these psalms are songs of praise. David acclaims and praises Hashem. The first of these psalms, which begins, in my distress I called to Hashem and he answered me, he composed for the future to be recited by the Jews in exile. The Kaddish contains 15 praises of Hashem, corresponding to the 15 songs of ascents. 2. The Yishtabach prayer contains 15 praises, and in the prayer sequence recited following the Shema, true, enduring, good, and comely, there are 15 aspects besides true. Other allusions include the 15 songs of ascent correspond to the 15 years when the lifetimes of the patriarchs overlap. This is reflected in the 15 words of the Pasuk, Vayivka b'mokum vayikach ma'avne ha'mokum, and he alighted in a certain place, and he took from the stones of that place, a pasuk that's found in Chumash Bereishis. Our sages teach that all these stones became one stone, and from that stone were formed the foundations of the foundation stone. 2, the songs correspond to the 15 words in the priestly blessing and to the 15 words in the Pasuk Zacharti as Brisi Yaakov, then I will remember my covenant with Yaakov, a Pasuk that is found in Chumash by Yikra. So now we're starting chapter 120, Pasuk 1. Shir HaMalos El Hashem Basarosali Karasi Ve'aneni, a song of incense in my distress, I called to Hashem and He answered me. Whenever in my distress I called to Hashem, notwithstanding that I did not call out to Him prior to my trouble, I only turned to Him during my distress, He answered me. Although I did not appeal to Him in prayer and supplication, and only called to Him, He answered me. Although I was only a single person, whenever I called to Him, He answered me first. Usually the prayers of the congregation are answered more readily. I did not turn for help to pagan doctors and mighty warriors, for vain is the help of man. I turned solely to Hashem, I called to Hashem, and He answered me. A subtle interpretation says, in my distress for the sake of Hashem, I called. All my worry and pain were not on account of my personal distress, but on account of the distress of the Shekhinah, the Divine Presence. As it were, I called and He answered me. Hence, we are instructed here that the essence of one's prayer should be exclusively for the sake of the Most High. There is then no distraction, neither from the left nor the right, and no opposition to one's prayer. Pasuk 2. Hashem hatsila nafshi mitzvah shekem miloshon ramir. O Hashem, save my soul from lying lips, from a deceitful tongue. David pleads in the name of the Jewish exiles of the future. O Hashem, save my soul from men of lying lips and from men of a deceitful tongue. These two expressions describe two types of the hidden enemies. Those of lying lips say things that may be understood in two opposite ways, but whose intent is evil. Those of a deceitful tongue say good things to one's face, but think evil in their hearts. In the Psalm 118, similarly David pleaded, Hashem is for me in my helpers, and I will face those who hate me. That is to say, Hashem, help me against those who appear to help me, but actually hate me. Here too he asked that Hashem help save him from those who speak with lying lips and deceitful tongue. Some explain that the present pasuk alludes to the forced debates between the enemies of our people and the sages of Israel. Pasuk 3. What will a deceitful tongue give you, and what will it profit you? Referring to those who speak evil against the Jewish people, the singer demands, what will a deceitful tongue give you, and what will it profit you? Falsehood has no leg to stand on, brings no advantage. Medrash says, how do you benefit, and of what use to you is a deceitful tongue? Said Rabbi Yochanan in the name of Rabbi Yossi ben Zimra, why does it say, what will a deceitful tongue give you, and what will it profit you? The Holy One said to the tongue, all limbs in the human body are upright, but you lie prone. All man's limbs are on the outside, but you are within. What is more, I surrounded you with two walls, one of ligaments and one of flesh. So what will a deceitful tongue give you, and what will it profit you? A subtle interpretation is based on the statement of Shimon bar Yochai, who said, if I had been at Mount Sinai, I would have asked for two mouths, one for Torah study and one for commonplace words. Subsequently, he said, if people are not careful about evil talk, now that they have only a single mouth, how much worse it would be if there were two mouths. That is what the singer says here. What will it give you, and what will it profit you to have two tongues, when even a single tongue speaks deceitfully? The singer speaks about evil talk at the very outset because all people succumb to it. He begins with admonition concerning this matter. Pasuk 4. Sharpen arrows of the mighty with coals of the broom wood. Those who speak evil are likened to sharpened arrows of the mighty with coals of the broom wood. This alludes to the practice of making sharpened arrows and then adding burning coals to the arrowheads. These burn the wound and cannot easily be extinguished. Some say the flying arrows heat up like coals. The Medrash explains why evil talk is likened to an arrow. If one comes with a sword in his hand to kill another, the other appeals to him and pleads for mercy. So the killer relents and returns the sword to its sheath. But an arrow, once it has been released, continues on its way. Even if the archer now wants to turn it back, he cannot do so. The bearer of tales cannot rectify the damage he has caused. Accordingly, it says here, sharpen arrows of the mighty. Thus the sages declared that one who speaks about a blemish in the family will never find atonement. Similarly, once the coals of the broom are ignited, they do not become extinguished. The Midrash tells the tale of two men in the wilderness who sat down beneath a broom wood tree. They collected wood from the tree, cooked some food for themselves, and then departed. A year later, they again came to the location in the wilderness where the broom wood tree stood, and found the ashes of the wood they had burnt before. Said one to the other, "Behold, 12 months had passed since we came by here and ate some food." They stirred the ashes, walked barefoot in it, and their feet were scorched by the coals under the ashes that still had not been extinguished. Our sages have also said, why did the Torah liken evil talk to an arrow? For unlike other weapons which strike from close, the arrow strikes from far. A person speaks in Rome, and his words kill in Syria. Evil talks does not resemble just any kind of coal, but coals of the broom wood. All other coals gradually die down from inside outward, but the broom wood dies from the outside inward. There is the story of someone having left burning coals on Sukkot and found them still burning on Pesach. Another reason evil talk is likened to a sharpened arrows of the mighty is that the archer will often shoot a person with an arrow and no one will know who shot him. Sharpened arrows of the mighty. Even a mighty warrior can only shoot one arrow at a time. But one who disseminates evil talk says very many things in a single instant. Evil talk is likened to coals of broomwood. Although the coals seem to be extinguished on the outside, they are not extinguished on the inside. The man who speaks deceitfully says things to make the other believe that he bears him no malice. The other should not be on guard against him. Then, however, upon leaving the other's presence, he talks evil against him. Some say that David pleads here for himself. Hashem should save him. His lips should not be lying lips, and his tongue not be a deceitful tongue. For speech is the faculty that distinguishes man as superior to the animals. If one, however, flaws his speech, he falls below the level of the other living creatures. Pasuk 5. Oyoli ki garti meshech shechanti im ole keder. Woe is me that I sojourned so long with Meshech, that I dwell among the tents of Keder. Having protested against people of lying lips and a deceitful tongue, the descendants of Edom, Esau, and Yishmael, the singer cries out against the length of the exile, the Golos. Woe is me that I sojourn so long that I dwell among the tents of Keder of the Yishmaelites. Thus it says, the firstborn of Yishmael, Nevorot, and Tether. Another reading identifies Meshech as a proper name for the descendants of Yishmael, a reference to the fact that their patriarch Yishmael handled the bow. Moshach means through the bow. As it says about Yishmael, Hashem was with the lad and he became an archer. The people of Kedar are specifically mentioned for they were cruel to the Jewish people. Some say they draw on the bow to shoot arrows of evil talk. Whenever David was asked why he exerted himself in prayer, pleading that Hashem should save him from evil talk, he would reply, "Woe is to me that I sojourn with Meshach, that I dwell among the tents of Kedar. I have seen on my own flesh what evil talk can bring. Because Doeg the Edomite spoke evil against me, it caused me to wander between Meshach and the tents of Kedar for a long time."
Woe is me that my exile has lasted so long and I dwelt among evildoers. This refers to the exile of the Jewish people among the Ishmaelim, in particular among the Kedar tribes, the most distinguished descendants of Ishmael. Others say that Meshach means Kedar, and the double reference is for emphasis. According to Rashi, the congregation of Israel says, Woe is to me for all the many exiles that I suffered. I sojourned among the descendants of Yefes in the kingdom of Persia, Greece, and Meshach, and I dwelt among the tents of Kedar. In the history of Yosef ben Gurion, he says that Meshach are the people, Tushkana, and the tents of Kedar are the Arabs. Pasuk 6. Rabbas shachna lo nashim sonei shalom. Too long has my soul dwelt with those who hate peace. Having lamented the exile among the Ishmaelim people, the single now laments the exile in Edom. Too long a time has my soul dwelt among the Edomites, the wicked empire that subjected us to so many destructions and forced conversions. Pasuk 7. Ani shalom chiyadaber hemel lemechama. I am peace, but when I speak, they are for war. It might be contended that we hate them as much as they hate us, but that is not the case, for I am peace. But when I speak to them about peace, they are for war. They are for war, thus it happened that when the Israelites sent envoys to the king of Edom for permission to let them pass through his land, he refused and threatened war, as we find in Chumash Bamidbar. Should you say that they persecute me because I antagonize them? That is not so. Although I am peace, still when I speak, they are for war. I am peace, even when I must wage war. That is so only for the sake of peace. The enemy should not continue to threaten with wars. Even when I speak peace, they look forward to war as an end in itself. I am peace, and when I turn to them with offers of peace, that is truly my innermost desire. But they think that I mean to deceive them. They say that as I speak about peace, my true intention is to have war. Some perceive these psukim, these verses, as comprising a plea and a response. The singer asks of Hashem, O Hashem, save my soul from lying lips, from a deceitful tongue. The response comes, why do you even have to ask for help in this, when evil talk is such a wretched thing? What will a deceitful tongue give you, and what will it profit you? It is as sharpened arrows of the mighty, with coals of the broomwood, and your own, therefore you will avoid it. The singer replies, Woe is me that I sojourn with Meshach. I ask for help against the evil talk on the part of others among whom I dwell. For I dwell among evil peoples who wage war against each other, and whose way and custom is to hate peace and spread evil talk. They declare, apostrophe, I am peace. Do I then speak evil? But the fact is, they are for war and evil talk, and I am being influenced by them. Therefore, I ask of you to save me. Some explain the entire psalm is about Achitofel. David says, O Hashem, save my soul from lying lips, from a deceitful tongue. All of Achitofel's great Torah learning was vanity and falsehood, since he did not implement what he had learned. May Hashem send down upon him sharp arrows of the mighty to cast him out and persecute him. King David says, Woe is to me that I must speak in praise of the nations. When I dwelt among them, I sojourned with Meshach. I dwelt among the tents of Kedar. They did not harm me, but in the land of Israel, too long has my soul dwelt with those who hate peace, even though I have sought their peace. On the Shabbos we recite the songs of ascents. Bochinash, let my soul bless. The latter is recited because it describes the creation of the world. During the 6 days of the creation, Hashem created 35 aspects of the world. Accordingly, that psalm is comprised of 35 verses. When the Shabbos came, God rested from 35 works. Hence, the creation story concludes with, Vayechula Shemayim Buch. Pasuk which contains exactly 35 words. The benediction, part of the Shabbos Shmoneh Esrei, Alokeinu Elokei Avosenu, Yetzei No Ben Muchaseinu, also contains 35 words, and so does the Kiddush benediction on the Shabbos. The 16 Psalms, the 15 songs of the accents, and Psalm 103, are recited on the Shabbos as protection against the sword of Hashem of 16 sharp points by means of which desecrators of the Shabbos are punished. The rabbis made a corresponding enactment to read the Torah in public. In the course of the week, 16 individuals are called up for the Torah reading as protection against the sword of Hashem with its 16 points. These psalms were recited by Yaakov when he was in the house of Laban. Thus it says, "And yet you are holy, O you are enthroned upon the praises of Israel." That is referring to Yaakov. "Moreover, one who keeps the Shabbos merits a heritage without limitations. As it says, then will you delight in Hashem, and I will cause you to ride upon the high places of the earth, and feed you with the heritage of Yaakov your father." The pasuk is found in Yeshayahu. That is why these psalms are recited on the Shabbos. The psalm Boruch Nafshi and the song of accents are customarily recited on Shabbos afternoon during the winter months. Together they comprise 136 psukim. This indicates that one must dispense money to the poor at the approach of winter, that they should buy wood for burning. The numerical value of money, mammon, is 136. Another reason Boruch Nafshi is recited on the Shabbos is that on the Shabbos every Jew possesses a special soul, nefesh. The 15 songs of accents are recited in the winter, for rain is needed in the winter, and reciting these psalms stirs up the depths to provide water. What is more, in the winter great mercy is needed to stay safe during upheavals of nature. Therefore these psalms mention the creation of the world and Hashem's mercies upon His creatures. Chapter 121, Pasuk 1. Shir lamalois eso einai elohorim me'ayin yavoi ezrin. A song to the accents. I lift up my eyes to the mountains. From where will my help come? This is a psalm of consolation. In contrast to the foregoing psalm, the singer likens the exile to a man traveling on the road who is waylaid by bandits. They want to kill him and rob him of his money. He raises his eyes to the mountains, looking for someone to hear his appeal and come to his assistance. I will lift up my eyes to the mountains. Where will my help come? Another interpretation is based on the reading of Kael as to Al, Hapan. He is like a man who climbs up a mountain, looks all about him and asks, from where will my help come? God sees everything and He saves him from the hands of his adversaries. This is a song of accents, being the first song chanted by the Levim as they ascended the steps inside the Holy Beis Hamikdash. Nevertheless, it does not appear here as the first of the song of accents because there is no before and after in text of Holy Scriptures. Some say that the letter Lamed in the word Lamalois here serves the same function as the definite article Hey, Hamalos, of the accent. Similarly, we find then the officer in whose hand the king leaned, the pasuk that's found in the Lachim base. The Sifri says in the name of Rebbe, it does not say here Shir Hamalos, it says Shir Lama'alos. This refers to the 30 numerical equivalent elevations, good qualities, one higher than the other, that Hashem will bestow upon the righteous in the future. This refers to the elevation and ascent of the righteous to the throne of glory beneath the tree of life. A similar poem was composed by Rabbi Elazar HaKalil. Umachteha shloshim malos benifer 30 rungs, zu lamalos mezu, one above the other, avkisei akovet, to the throne of glory, tassos v'olos, flying and rising, v'shir ni'imos, in song of delights, Shir HaMalot, Song of Accents. A subtle interpretation says, the world stands upon three pillars, upon Torah, sacred service, and upon acts of benevolent kindness. On Mount Moriah were brought offerings. On Mount Sinai, the Torah was given. Now the holy base of Mikdash is destroyed, and both are abolished. So the congregation of Israel says, I lift up my eyes to the mountains. From where will my help come? Behold, Torah studying is abolished, and sacred service is abolished. The answer is, my help comes from Hashem, from the attribute of divine loving kindness. As it says, for with Hashem there is loving kindness, because I still continue to practice benevolent loving kindness, which is the third pillar. My help will come from there, measure for measure. Our sages expound, I lift up my eyes to the mountains, to the King Mashiach. Thus it says, who are you, O great mountain? Pasuk that's found in Zechariah. From where will he come? By way of the mountains. As it says, how beautiful upon the mountains are the feet of the one who brings good tidings. This is a pasuk found in Sefer Yeshayahu. This alludes to both the Mashiach, the son of Yosef, and the Mashiach, the son of David. The former is included in the latter, which explains why the Torah speaks in the singular form, O great mountain. But here the singular refers to both Mashiachs, hence the plural form, the mountains. Pasuk 2. Ezri me'im Hashem, Osei Shemayim Boaz, my help comes from Hashem, who made heaven and earth. Having looked upon about and not seen anyone there to help him, the singer says, my help comes from Hashem. That is the real help. Since Hashem made heaven and earth, he's able to help. Some interpret these verses as a question followed by an answer. Will I then lift up my eyes to the mountains, as we find in the previous pasuk, to look for help from men when vain is the help of man? Rather, my help comes from Hashem, who made heaven and earth. To those who say that we can no longer rely for help on ancestral merit because it is totally depleted, David says, I lift up my eyes to the mountains, that is the others, but my help comes from Hashem, who made heaven and earth, by the attribute of mercy, as it says, for the world is built on loving kindness. Hashem joined the attribute of loving kindness to the attribute of mercy in creating the world. That is the meaning of from the Lord, that is to include as well the attribute of loving kindness and mercy. A subtle interpretation says, from where will my help come? Even when I possess no merits or good deeds to my credit, it will come from Hashem. For He has created the world, heaven and earth, only on account of Israel. That is to say, He created the world before Israel had acquired any merit. Hence, that He created it in the merit of what they would do in the future. This is expressed in the Song of Ascent, Shir Malos, which refers to Israel's continued ascent in excellence. Heaven and earth, the true source of help is Hashem Himself, even if He works through intermediaries. Hashem, who created heaven and earth, also created those intermediaries. My help comes from Hashem. The redemption will come for the sake of Hashem, as it says on Pasuk in Shayahu, for my own sake will I do. Pasuk number 3. Al yitein lamod reglecho al yonim shemrecho. He will not allow your foot to be moved, falter. Your guardian will not slumber. Now the singer prophetically addresses the Jewish people submerged in exile. He, Hashem, will not allow your foot to falter. Your guardian will not slumber. Do not think that just because you are in exile in Golus, Hashem has removed the supervision. Truly, He will not slumber. Some explain that your guardian refers to the night watchman in a city under siege. Another interpretation says every Jew in Golus and exile should help strengthen every other Jew by words of encouragement. If the pasuk is understood to refer to night watchmen, it says that they will receive Hashem's help in fulfilling their task. The pasuk includes a promise that following the final redemption, there will be no other subjugation. Even when they are in exile, a Hashem will not allow them to collapse entirely. He will not slumber. The one who has always watched over you will not even sleep lightly, not even once. This alludes to the thousands and tens of thousands of miracles and hidden wonders that Hashem performs for us in exile. Experience proves it. See how long the one lamb has survived among the 70 wolves. Pasuk 4. Hine lo yonim lo yishan shom Yisrael. Behold, the guardian of Israel neither slumbers nor sleep. The guardian of Israel does not even slumber lightly, so he certainly does not sleep soundly. The Sifri says, because the Jewish people have a guardian, on that account everything else is guarded as well. But not as their rock is our rock, a pasuk that's found in Chumash Devarim. They fear what is made of silver and gold, and so they guard their idols, not so our God. We sleep, and he watches over us. We will continue Mitzvah Shem in our next shir.
learning Sefer Tehillim, this is shir number 68. We are using the commentary by Ma'am Loez. May the learning of Torah be a merit for myself, yourself, for listening to this tape or CD, or for listening to any of our over 500 Torah lectures online at EnglishTorahTapes.com. May the learning of Torah also be a merit for the memory of Aaron Fuchs and Shimon and Hinda Manila of blessed memory. We're holding chapter 119, Pasuk 156. Rachamecho Rabim Hashem Kimishvatecha Chayeni. Your mercies, O Hashem, are abundant. Give me life in accordance with your judgments. It is your way to be merciful, so I plead. Your mercies, O Hashem, are abundant. Give me life in accordance with your judgments. Give me life as is your way. Many are my enemies, but so are your mercies, abundant. Therefore, give me life in accordance with your judgments. David pleads for the opportunity to merit salvation. Similarly, we find that Hashem sent angels to Sodom, whom Lot would welcome as his guest and defend with his very life, and so merit to be saved. David says here likewise, your mercies, O Hashem, are abundant. So give me life in accordance with your judgment. As a sign of your benevolence, grant me the merit to earn life in accordance with your judgments. I should then live because I justly deserve to live. Some say that David speaks in the name of the future exiles who declare and entreat, even today, your mercies, O Hashem, are abundant. We survive as a result of great miracles, but it would be preferable for us to earn your beneficence through our own labor by performing the sacred service in the house of Hashem. Then you would give us life in accordance with your judgments as a naturally deserved recompense. Pasuk 157. Rabim Yerodfei V'Tzoroi Me'ed Vosecha Lo Netisi. Many are my pursuers and my adversaries, yet have I not turned aside from your testimonies. Notwithstanding that many are my pursuers and my adversaries, yet have I not turned aside from your testimonies. What is more, I fulfilled your commandments. You shall not avenge nor bear any grudge. A pasuk that is found in Chumash VaYikra. Although my pursuers and my adversaries are great and important people like Doeg and Achitophel, yet have I not inclined to complain that the wicked are high and I am so low, for I have not turned aside from your testimonies. Pasuk 158. Ro'isi bogdim veskotata asher imrascha lo shamaru. I saw traitors and I quarreled with them because they did not keep your word. I saw traitors who wronged me, but I quarreled with them more because they did not keep your word than because they wronged me. Some explain, when I saw traitors, those unfaithful to you prosper, I quarreled as kotatum. I found life despicable. Similarly, it says, my soul is weary of my life. Nakto nafshi, a pasuk that's found in Iyov. The wicked are called here traitors because they do not fulfill the mission for which they were sent from on high. Pasuk 159. Re'ei ki pukudechon ohavti Hashem kechaz tochayeni. See how I love your commands, O Hashem. Give me life according to your loving kindness. Since I quarreled with those who are traitors to your Torah,